Pleasure to be here in this most vibrant community. I hear the biggest community outside India, maybe. So many devotees here. And definitely so many senior devotees, pioneers here. So I humbly seek for your blessings. And I'd like to introduce or present some of the thought after 8 years of intense traveling to all our farm communities. We have 65. At the moment, they're all registered in one place, you can find them online. And from these farms, there are many things which are very interesting. And today, we hope to introduce to all of you a direction after 50 years of trying to implement Prabhupada's vision. We are finally listening from so many seniors what could be a direction. So it's called, oh, you want me to read the verse? Okay, all right. I thought we just doing the presentation, but we're going to do the verse and then, okay. All right, a short Bhagavatam class. Okay, we'll do a short Bhagavatam class. Where is the book? Bhagavatam. Chapter 2. Okay. So, since we're doing the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text number 26. Niravidyata Shishnovai Pragya Dhamma Taktitana Upastasit Kamanam Priyam Tad Ubashayashayam. Devotees? Any devotees like to repeat?
Niravidyata Shishnavai.
Therapan, for sexual pleasure, begetting offspring and tasting heavenly nectar, the Lord developed the genitals. And thus, there is genital organ and its controlling deity, the Prajapati. The object of sexual pleasure and the controlling deity are under the control of the genitals of the Lord. Shall I repeat this? Long please. Therapan, for sexual pleasure, begetting offspring, and tasting heavenly nectar, the Lord developed the genitals. And thus, there is genital organ and its controlling deity, the Prajapati. The object of sexual pleasure and the controlling deity are under the control of the genitals of the Lord. Purport. The heavenly pleasure for the conditioned soul is sexual pleasure. And this pleasure is tasted by the genitals. The woman is the object of sexual pleasure. And both the sense perception of sexual pleasure and the woman are controlled by the Prajapati, who is under the control of the Lord's genitals. The impersonalist must know from this verse that the Lord is not impersonal, for he has his genitals, of which all the pleasurable objects of sex depend. No one would have taken the trouble to maintain children if there were no tastes of heavenly nectar by means of sexual intercourse. The material world is created to give the conditioned souls a chance for rejuvenation, for going back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, generation of the living being is necessary for upkeep of the purpose of creation. Sexual pleasure is an impetus for such action, and as such, one can serve the Lord in the act of sexual pleasure. The service is counted when the children born of such a sexual pleasure are properly trained in Krishna and God consciousness. The whole idea of material creation is to revive the dormant God consciousness of the living entity. The forms of life other than the human form, sexual pleasure is prominent without any motive of service to the mission of the Lord. But in the human form of life, the conditioned soul can render service to the Lord by creating progeny suitable for the attainment of salvation. One can beget hundreds of children and enjoy the celestial pleasure of sexual intercourse, provided he is able to train the children in God consciousness. Otherwise, begetting children is on the level of the swine. Rather, the swine is more expert than the human being, because the swine can beget dozens of piglets at a time, whereas the human being can give birth to only one at a time. So one should always remember that the genital sexual pleasure, the woman and the offsprings, are all related in the service of the Lord. And one who forgets this relationship in the service of the Supreme Lord becomes subjected to the threefold miseries of material existence by the laws of nature. Perception of sexual pleasure is there even in the body of a dog, but there is no sense of God consciousness. The human form of life is distinct from that of a dog by the perception of God consciousness. Srila Prabhupada aqui, Ramanandi. Om Gyana Timirandasya, Gyananjanan Shalakaya, Chakshuran Militanyena, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna, we are giving a sequence to the verse of the second canto where the Lord is being pointed out, as it was very expertly explained yesterday by Radhanath, His Holiness Radhanath Swami in this class, where he's explaining by the desire of the Lord to move the legs of creation. And very interestingly in that verse, the legs are connected to yajna. And in the following verse he read, the hands are connected to work. And here in this verse, the genitals are connected to continuation. But not just simple continuation like all the animal kingdom can do, but continuation with the real purpose of life, which is God consciousness. So this principle that the Lord actually is the cause behind all existence is a major point for us Bhakti Yogis. And in this search for our mission of agriculture, cow protection, I'm always faced with a crossroads, a dilemma. We're a preaching movement, we build temples, we distribute books, we have temple programs. And agriculture, that's another department. That's something which is on the side, which is a separate one of our projects. And while contemplating that crossroads, which I think all of you might have seen, have come across, have discussed, it's not a recent crossroad. The rural-urban divide is very ancient. Because there are those who produce and those who consume. And more people want to consume than produce. So the population of farmers is like 4% in America. And most are in the towns. And with so many facilities like Amazon, you can just... See, you don't even need a farmer. You just need Amazon. So when you contemplate a little deeper through the lenses of the Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse, we see that there is a natural law, and Prabhupada is referring to it. And here, he brings it in relation to the sexual procreation, sexual interaction between a male and a female, and he brings the purposes behind the real existence. And that's the lenses which we started this tour in North America. After the pandemic is my very first outing, let's put it this way, to the different communities. And I chose the East Coast of North America farms to start. So I've been going farm to farm, talking to the devotees, explaining a course which is born from 8 years of research, visiting, talking to devotees, and that's going to be explained in a little while. But at the end of the presentation, I'd like us to reflect on the connection between our existence and Mother Earth. I'd like to reflect at the end of the session, how might it be that Mother Earth might be a great book distributor? Or how Mother Earth might be an impetus for us, practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, to show Bhakti Yoga in such a way that the youth is so integrated, activated, and interested to join us. So I'm sure all of you, being stout Prabhupada disciples, and many of you Prabhupada disciples, have done marvelous things for Srila Prabhupada, traveling, opening temples, doing festivals, book distribution. Some have dedicated their lives to farms. I have here a couple, Adhikartha Prabhu and Mother Rushira, which is the example. She said, I can't come to your presentation, I'll be milking cows. But yes, this is the thing, you are doing the right thing. So, I'll just give you a brief tour and we come to the point that we are discussing. I hope I'm not like, I hope my class is shorter. Yesterday, Radhanath Swami, he could speak for 6 hours and he was very condescending and he ended in 9:30. I hope we can finish by 9. That's the time we should have. Yes. Okay, I get a consistent yes from other people. Okay, so if we project that on the screen. Krishna Kishore, could you project that, please? Should be there. We did load before. Yes. You can just go to the opening. I'll give you a microphones. Is that all right? I speak very softly, I'm sorry. Brazilian people come from a traditional softness. Our language is soft. The native Indians were very welcoming. The Portuguese were killing them and they were saying, no problem. And they were giving gifts in return. So there's a forgiving and welcoming nature. So I tend to speak very softly. But I will try to make my voice more present. Is that all right? Can you hear me now? Okay. So if we go to the opening, and you see there that this is our trajectory in 8 years. We had very little funds. I was not specifically a guru or a rich person, and I had the mission to do this all over the world. We didn't even know how many farms we had, where they were, how many cows. I just handed the service. And I said, well, Prabhupada, let me give it a try. And that was 2015. We've seen the opening, Prabhu, in that first slide. If you can go back, that the blue dot, yes, opening, click on it. You put the curtain, yes, there we are. So you can have an idea. So for 4 years, my main service was to do conferences so I could meet all of you, all the devotees of the farms, get to know their childhood, hear from the elders what they were doing, so I could then try to propose solutions for the future. That's the cycle number one. Cycle number two was really, how can we network? How can we create relationships of friendship, of camaraderie, of an agency of support for ISKCON? And that network had a purpose, which was to teach regenerative agriculture, ethical dairy or cow protection, and community dynamics, because you cannot run a dairy or a farm or agriculture without people. And people should be there without fighting for it to last. So these are the three areas. Okay, so now we're in the third stage, which is the education stage. Okay, perfect. So now that you have a picture of what we did, you just two fingers out and it goes out. Yes. Let's go to the gray ball over there at the top. Okay. When we think of industrial revolution, what comes to your mind? What is the goal of industrial revolution? Anybody would like to say?
Convenience.
Yes, that was one of the goals. Anybody else?
Mass production.
Machines.
Money.
Money in the hands of few. Yes. Anything else? Pollution as a byproduct.
Oil.
All of that is definitely part of it, but the big goal of those thinkers, they want to redefine humans. The main idea was, if you go to that small one, don't click it yet, it's called Digital Transhumanism. What is that? The idea is that through machines, we humans will overcome all the problems that face our existence, including understanding our origins, which science still tries to do it through different ideas of creating life on Earth, laboratories, and the BI is working hard to show how people are even going to the brain to see if they can reconstruct the brain, things like that. So if you click there on digital transhumanism, you see that the idea is going very far and very scary with artificial intelligence, transcribing DNA codes, which are very sacred. And we don't know where that's leading us. But all of that is part of this idea. At the top one, Prabhu, if you just click on it, just follow here so we're on the same page. If you just go to the background, yes, the first idea was to produce machines. The second idea in the 1870s was to explore oil, human resource like coal and mine, iron, everything. The third one was in 69, atomic energy. And now we are in the digital era where the whole thing is information. This is the revolution. All of these have the single goal of redefining who we are. Okay, we can go out of that. If we look at agriculture, if you click on agriculture, that's what it was. Can you see any similarity between the top picture and the bottom picture?
Yeah.
You see? This gentleman, Fritz, he could be one of those bad guys in the cartoon series, you know? What's the name of the series with the long nose cartoon character? My daughters love that. I don't know the name. You know, but the bad guy in that series. He was actually thinking, how can I use all the residues of that war into agriculture? So the whole thinking process is urea, all the chemical war was transformed into pesticides, herbicides. It's a war. Agriculture today is a war operation. Everybody must die. Bugs, anybody who is inimical to me must die. There's no question. There's no coexistence, it's existence. If you have a cornfield, you don't want anybody who is not a corn there. And if there is, I'll make sure through drone image, satellite image, I'm pesticide, I'm actually killing everything. So it's a war mentality with the goal of money, of getting money. So that is what this digital transhumanism is leading us to. It's quite the opposite. Instead of solving our problems. So we can go out of that. Prabhuji, out, two fingers out, yes, out. Now let's go to our real stuff. Before you click, I'll introduce the concept. It's called analog transhumanism. That's what we do. Face to face, letters, managing by letters. That's what Prabhupada did. He's talking, he has a personal relationship with everyone. If you go there and you click the first one, analog transhumanism, well, here Radhanath Swami is describing a connection between yagya and cows. And in that connection, he's showing us that sacrifice which is done not for Vishnu will bind us. That's the verse. Anything we do will bind us. And that's why all this digital transhumanism is complete binding people, mortgages, and more complications. I couldn't take a taxi in Atlanta because I didn't have a credit card, which was working. My credit card didn't work. I couldn't take a taxi. I had money, but I couldn't take a taxi. So I just said, this is where we are. I had to ask someone from a South American origin country, could you be very kind and book something on your credit cards and I can give you the money? And she did. So this is the beginning. But you don't have money anymore, you have a number in your credit card. And it's more and more complex. So this is because it's not done for Vishnu, and that's how Vishnu work is done. If you click on sacrifice, Prabhu, and that explains it, and I'm going to go what Srila Prabhupada said about it. Okay, Srila Prabhupada is there. Can you click there, Prabhu? Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, on the top? Yes. Prabhupada, this is where we say, anybody like to read this sentence? Madhyamukhi, you have a strong voice.
But I don't have strong eyes. Cow protection means feeding the grammatical culture, which leads towards God consciousness, and thus perfection of human civilization is achieved.
Thank you.
He said that in Srimad Bhagavatam 119.3.
Yes. He said that many times, and many times, I don't know if all of you have thought about it, but how can cow protection, which is a department here in Alachua, lead to human perfection of human civilization? Vishwambara Prabhu, which here takes care of the cow protection, might be wondering, how's that going to connect? Well, if we click on Dharma, that's where we want to go. The first thing, if you look at that picture, you see Abhishek in Mayapur down, where the milk is bathing the lordships. So there you go, the milk in Yagya. That same milk is drunk by a Brahman who is bathing, and with his intelligence, he's guiding the whole civilization. That's a connection. So Prabhupada wanted that liquid. He wanted badly the ghee, especially the ghee. He was pushing even book distribution to be exchanged for ghee, because he understood that that's necessary for human civilization. And one thing which says is, milk is the liquid form of Dharma. And we could go on, there's a whole segment, Dharma and Ecology, which we go in depth in that. If we go out of that, which is just a small introduction to the topic, okay? Let's go out of this. Dharma, two fingers out. If you do two fingers out, it goes. Let's go to ghee, please. So here, Mahabharata is saying that no yagya done, any yagya done without ghee is not a real yagya. So Prabhupada understood, we need yagyas, we need ghee. So at the same time as his book distribution, his temple building, 1968, just as Madhumukhi read, this Adhikar article read this morning, Prabhupada was saying, We need a farm. And that farm came to produce 4,000 liters of milk a day. More than the whole ISKCON today. So Prabhupada was interested in that model. Okay? Okay, let's go out of this. Two fingers up. Yes. Let's go to soil. We are only here exploring the sacrifice aspect. Do you know this gentleman? Anybody in the room knows him? Have you heard of him? Sir Albert Howard? You have? Oh, Radha Krishna copied it. Radha Krishna is a Prabhupada. He's very interesting. He got his book and he renamed it. He said the Hare Krishna agriculture book. And he printed it as it is. It's interesting. But Sir Albert Howard, he had two big qualities. First one, he was British. The second, let me schedule. And the second one, he was humble. And it's a rare combination. But I can say this in America. And he had both. And because he was humble, because he's really humble, he came to India to teach chemical farming, and he said, I'm going to teach you guys who are very primitive to grow food. His results were one-third of what the Indian traditional cow-based agriculture was giving. So he resigned from that, and he said, let me learn, let me teach. He is the father of organic farming in the West. He brought it to the England, from him to France, agriculture biologique, from Rotherdale in America, got it from him. Steiner was his contemporary. So this gentleman introduced, we need to stop this big digital transhumanization process and get the real thing out. And that's what I want to present for you. So this is just to bring us to this point. We go out of that slide, Prabhu, and we go right outside to, sorry. One more? No, one less, sorry. One, yes. Please go to the natural law. Today we heard about the natural law related to procreation. Here, I want to apply the natural law to procreation of a forest. For me, this is where the Hare Krishna leaders need to pay attention. It's something extremely important, extremely important. If you look at nature, anybody here who has a garden, and many of you have, I was so happy to see everybody has some kind of growing. And how many plots would you say, Madam, you have 100 people with 5 acres around here?
At least.
So that's 500 acres, at least. From that 5 acres, you may be growing 1/2 acre, 1 acre. So at least 20 acres being grown, at least, on a very bare minimum. And all these devotees are trying, no, if you cut some grass, if you leave your property, you have some grass, correct? That's called placenta. What happens in Florida if you leave your garden for 3 months? Some plants start to come. What about 3 years? A small mini forest. So that's what the forest is doing. It's going from grass to accumulation, to colonization, to climax, which is a forest. So how does nature work? From simple to complex. Can you repeat that? How does nature work?
From simple to complex.
You got it? From simple to complex. How do we work? How does modern society work? From, it works, I mean, it goes from complex, which is the forest, you cut down the forest, and what do you put? A grass, corn, wheat, isn't it? So we're going against nature. Obviously, if you're going against nature, you're going to face challenges. So then you have to put your inputs, your pesticides, NPK, etc., because you're going against nature. So the foundational point for us is that we need to go with nature. With nature, it's translated syntropic, with life. Syn with and trophy, life, with life. So all of our efforts in Islam need to start thinking, if we go with life, it's easier. And Prabhupada really had that down when he talked about the natural law. I'm going to show you this. Energy, life. If you click there, if you want to increase your soil fertility, your life content here, consolidated life by 10%, using machines, you have to put 70% of energy in that. So from 70, you get 10. If you use a biological system with 3%, you get 10. There's a profit there. So we are running on an entropic model. We're losing energy as we do our operations. And if you lose energy, it's going to be a scarcity. Everybody's afraid of scarcity. Pandemic, war, I have to keep... There are companies now on website advertising, if you buy food now because we don't know what's going to happen. So there's a scarcity mentality is coming from lack of connection with the syntropic model, a model which is abundant. And just to exemplify, if you plant squashes all over and you have 3,000 squashes, what is your natural tendency when a guest comes? Please take a squash. Please, don't let it rot. Take a squash, I implore. Be gentle and take a squash, right? All the farmers would shake their head. Yes, we know what it is. I mean, I just planted 2,000 banana trees, and when they mature and they become yellow, you really want to give because it's very fast. But please, accept some bananas. That's syntropic. But let's say you get another $3,000 extra. What does it happen? You feel like, please, take my dollars. I got so much. Is that what happened? No. Oh, I have so many things to do with this $3,000. And that's because the energy comes entropic. So the very energy of generation is in that substance and it fills our consciousness. So we need to start being syntropic to have a syntropic movement where people be attracted to nature and from nature to God. And understand that because God moves, we move. Because God wants aroma, the forest is made. Because He wants to procreate, the genitals and the forests are made. That's where all your regeneration is coming. And once someone comes here and understands that we are in tune with this, our grounds translate that narrative, they want to know more, they want to take a book, they want to read Prabhupada's book. Gauranga Prabhu from Chaupati said, if he knew how much power sustainability had, he had done it 10 years ago. I witness, I'm in Delhi, I usually travel in dhoti. Well, less now, but I used just to travel in dhoti. My suitcase was just dhoti. Now less, but I walked into the airplane, I see this family smiling at me. This lady has a big smile. She has two children next to her, so it's nothing strange, it's just friendly. So I come by, and as I approach, I say, Hare Krishna. The three says, Hare Krishna. I'm surprised on a plane, I didn't expect that. And then I said, oh, Hare Krishna, you came to visit him? Yes, we're from New York. We wanted to do something different. We went on the internet, and we saw Govardhan Eco Village. We are curious. We went, and that was the most incredible experience. And we met the Swami, rather not Swami, and he was so fabulous. We really want to come back. Now, this person came from New York to India for a retreat in Govardhan Eco Village. How many thousands of dollars did she spend for that experience? How many thousands of people could be coming here for those experiences? So it's very powerful. And once we put our heads around it, we'll understand the youth of the 60s, which were all of you, has a different thinking process than the youth of now. That time we wanted to get away from society and build something different, the hippie movement, counterculture movement, the farm movement. We wanted to go away because there'd be a collapse, a crisis, whatever. The youth of today want to make society work. They want to make it to show a system which is ethical, which is ecological. Therefore, we cannot apply our thinking process of the 60s into the 2023s and expect them to respond. We need to adjust, and what they want to see is ecology, regenerative, mindful people who have God and nature on the same track. Not like the Christian had God and decimate the native Brazilian Indians at that time, the Jesuits of that time. Now the Pope is very conscious. He's wrote a whole book on ecology, and that's a big thing for the Christian Catholic Church today. So much so that we Hare Krishnas feel honored when we are invited to their conference in Italy. I think Yadubha Prabhu was, and a few Hare Krishnas were invited to that conference. And that's all based on the living soil. If we go out of the living soil and we go to community, now this is a big point. I want to make a bold statement. I don't usually make, I'm very gentle by nature, but I want to make a bold statement. And I'll say that we failed, not failed, our attempts with Varnashram have not yet been fully successful because we have missed community. And the first community we have missed is that one, under the soil. That community is so awesome that if there is one tree here which does not have potassium or nitrogen or phosphorus, there is a translocation signal system around the forest which says nutrients is needed in that part. And by osmosis, change of potential of electricity, those nutrients are translocated in the forest. That is homeostasis, that is community. Everybody on that forest has the same mission, homeostasis, climax. Because they understand that this is what our purpose is, this is our dharma. And the forest is one of the matrix of abundance. You don't need to manage a forest, it goes by itself. It finds its own species. And it's running under certain rules. We have to understand succession. One plant is there, after some time it's gone, because its time is over. Does anybody here plant vegetables in your gardens? Do you have weeds? Sometimes. Here's a question. Why are the weeds coming?
Generally speaking, if I mulch, the weeds stay away.
Okay.
But the weeds only come because they're already there in the soil. They've got the seeds in the soil.
Do you know what they're telling you and me and everybody?
That it's good. It's good.
Yes. It's actually saying this message. It's telling us this. Your lettuce, your requirement of nutrition is not compatible with the soil's actual moment. It is my turn to be here. Therefore, I'm going to overtake because I have a mission. And you have the same mission, but you're out of sync. Whoever put you there doesn't understand you're not in compatibility with the soil fertility at this point in time. Therefore, I'm taking over. So we think, oh, these weeds, wow, I have to dig them out. But they're telling, this soil hasn't reached the point of life which allows the lettuce or carrot or the things we like. They need a more robust system to live. So the weeds are saying, hey, wait a moment. It's not your turn, it's my turn, Prabhu. And there it goes. All of them are.
Yeah, so they're called green gold.
Yes.
So you take them out and turn them in.
So what you're telling me is that we have finally understood how some plants work with nature and we use them in our favor.
Yep.
So you turn something from weeds into edible herbs, from weeds into manure, in green manure. So you understand nature and how it's working. Now, when you put your mulch in, the information for the weeds is, wait a second, there's no light. It's not our turn. It's not only because they can't, and they do go through your mulch, especially the grasses. They said, we have a mission, we don't give up easily. Come off it, I'm shooting.
Bermuda.
Exactly, and ain't all those little bulbs you have underneath, all of them are very persistent. They can stay 8 years waiting for their turn. So, if we understand that there's a whole mission out there, and the full mission is to serve God, and we are the ones who have the intelligence to maneuver that. We shouldn't be working against nature. We should be working with nature. And anybody who comes here and understands, these devotees, these spiritualists, understand nature. They work with nature to understand the supreme nature of God. They'll surrender. That's what we need to implement, and that's what Feed the Earth is all about. So community is a great aspect. And learning about how the microbiological foundation of everything you see up is there. If you see a beautiful tree, It's down there that the real life is happening. I have an Amish friend called Sam in Pennsylvania. I visit him. He was doing cows, and he wanted to go from corn and silage to only grass, grass-fed milk. But everybody was telling him, don't do it, blah, blah, blah. So he was in a transition. And I said, Sam, how much milk do you get? And he made a joke with me. He said, I'm not going to laugh at you, but I'm going to laugh at you. He said, I don't care. And I was shocked because he sells milk. He says, what I do is I only care for my herd, which is under the soil. If they're good, my milk is good. My grass is good. Everything is good. Now his son, now we're talking generational farming, from father to grandfather to son, you know, like his son took it up. I came on their lunch, their party, they're having this little feast. And we came because I just wanted to give a hug and some. And when I went there, his son came to me and I said, oh, I'd like to talk to Sam, but he's there with his family. Maybe it's not a good time. And Sam looked at me, he walked, he came by and says, I remember you. I said, yes, Sam, we would like to talk to you. The conversation became so intense about soil regeneration that he wasn't going back to his dinner. I said, Sam, you better go back because your family will curse me very soon for removing you from your family meeting. But his son was gleaming, says, I'm so excited. I'm doing pasture management. And the more my soil is strong, the more my grasses is strong, I only think about pasture management. Because the cows trample, they poop, they fertilize, they go to the next plot. And like this, over 40 days, it's an automatic system. I just have to take them around. His cows are beautiful. His pasture was almost to the level of the ears of the cows. Beautiful. Father to son, to soil, to the cows. He just needs to understand why we protect them, which is about to, if the money makes sense. It's the next connection, how to make sense, monetary money for them. Okay, so we did community, farming systems. All right, people, very beautiful concepts. Is there anybody doing it? Let's go to farming systems. You go out of community, one more. Yes, and then farming systems. Okay, very good. Already many people are doing it. Syntropic farming at the right top means chop and drop. I think some of you have heard. You chop your branches, your leaves, and you put it down to mulch. The weeds understand it's not our turn. The plants become nourished. The underworld community is fed with your food that you gave them. You don't need to put anything there, not even liquid fertilizers. It's a no-input system, even no irrigation system. I'm doing a semi-arid region, and there's no water. I have 400 millimeters per year, and we're starting to get results. So it's incredible how this system is relating. You have the top system. Probably click on the picture of the cow, the bullock cart, and the rice. No, the top one. The top one. Top picture. Just go out, click again. Yes. This is, you have been to Bengal, to Mayapur, you see these rice paddies. They've been there before Lord Chaitanya for thousands of years. It's a grass, it's a simple system. A question may come, Prabhu, this is simple, not complex. How come it's fertile for so many years? Here's a question for you. Why are the rice fields fertile up to today? It's a grass, it's monocrop. Why is it fertile?
Calcium.
Probably.
Gober.
Some gober is there. They do put gober, the cow. You see also the bullock cart does not compact the soil because a wet soil with a tractor will really make a heavy compactation. That's another point. There's a reason. A secret. Yes. The rivers flood, they do on the plains, that's an excellent answer, but there's also rice fields outside the flooding zones of the Ganga. The answer lies with Sir Albert Howard. Would you like to hear the secret? Yes?
Sure.
Maybe? Sure. Okay, that's a sure, with conviction. Sir Albert Howard, being humble, he was intrigued with this question for a lot of time. He says, I'm here, this rice has been here for thousands of years, it's fertile, I don't understand, I want to know. He understood that rice roots have a companion fungi which has the sole purpose of regenerating the soils. Lord Brahma, understanding that we like rice and India likes rice, there were 3,000 varieties of rice at the time. This symbiosis is there. And simply by growing rice, the soil is greatly regenerated. Some of the secrets that is hidden in these places. If you go out of this model, which is a model which exists, cow-centric agriculture, if you go down, still there, wait, go back, natural law, click, farming systems, yes, the bottom picture. This is Nanda Maharaj in underground in Govardhan with his 9 lakh cows going on grazing. Some say that Alan Savory, with his holistic management, was copying him, trying to understand his method. And Krishna is the perfection of that system because he has the forest, as we saw, the matrix of abundance, and the cows, the second matrix of abundance of the planet. These are the only two. And these two only work because of Yajna. Yajna is the motor for that. But these two are the outlets of abundance, the cows and the forest. And when they are together, is the maximum. So Krishna, he always gives the best example of everything he does. So he's in the forest with the cows, with the cow herds, with a purpose. They're eating herbs and they're pasturing, they're fertilizing the soils, it's moving, they go to different forests every day. So it's a whole pasture management system that Krishna is introducing to us, and we need to regain that. But that must be done with science. For example, in India, that's not the ideal system because most farms is 1.5 acre big. 1.5 hectare big, maybe. Small farms. So for them, it's not so practical to do grazing because they need to do food and fruits and vegetables for their families. So we need to adjust maybe to cow-centric agriculture in India. Let's go out of this. And finally, so we have some interaction. You can move out of this, Prabhu. And let's go to the education, which is the goal of this presentation. This is regenerative agriculture. We need to rethink our system. Click on number one, please. Permaculture design, where to put your things? How do you distribute energy, people, crops in your property? Why is a garden next to your house? Why is that? Easy to access. If it needs water, you put it. If it needs to harvest, you harvest. If it needs attention, you take it. So see, permaculture is trying to see the best energy for your farm. So if this is your center of activity, the temple, how everything works around the temple. If your center is the Goshala, how do you design around the Goshala? So that's permaculture. And Vastu. I highly recommend Vastu. We have so many farms suffering because they don't understand the Devas. So they put fire with water. There's problems. They don't go together well. Or they put a slope to Yamaraj and then all their money goes. Or they put a mountain in the north. Kuvera cannot enter. And they're struggling for years and wondering, why are we struggling so much? No matter what we put in this farm, it doesn't go. Of course, Kuvera cannot enter. He put a mountain in the north. So we need to understand this natural law that Krishna put here. Yes, we are transcendentalists, but the property is a property in the material world. It will follow the Deva's rules. Your response may be transcendental, but the farm is part of the material world, so it will respond to the laws of material nature. So where to put our farm is very important. So that's rethinking. Let's go out of that. Go out, yes. Then there's all the other path. Minimize soil disturbance, maximize crop diversity, keep the soil covered, do not disturb the roots, perennials, and livestock into agriculture. Click on number 6, please. The top picture is Brazil. It's a small, so maybe you cannot see, but it's a huge farm which has trees, grasses, and cows. It's a little bit monocrop, but the bottom one is a system where you have grasses in the corridor, trees on the sides for timber, medicinal, fruits, herbs, vegetables, everything goes. And if you do it right, you can put the cows at the right time, they don't eat your crops. So it's a question of understanding those systems. Okay? We are going to start teaching all of this that we collected over 8 years. Not only in ISKCON, but outside of ISKCON, with some agencies, right? So the first course coming up, if you put the foundational course, zooming in, we have the TCKC. What is that? Who could guess? Krishna culture. Okay. Yes, you should guess. Taking care of Krishna's cows. So that's the first course. Taking care of Krishna. So that's our Go Seva course. Where to put, how to put, designing, how much crop, how do you do the stuff, the volunteering, budgeting, 1 year, 5, 15. All of this we cover in that. And that's coming in October. Okay? The next one is community dynamics. Please click on community dynamics. Krishna, show for me, please. This is Robert Hall. He is a leader in GEN, Global Ecovillage Network. There are 10,000 ecovillages in this institution affiliated. 10,000. And he's a friend of ours, of the movement. And he's helping us. How do people stick together? What makes people stick together? Do you know?
Common interests.
Respect.
Necessity.
I'll give you a clue. Mother Mukhya, before you do leave, I know you have...
Sorry, I have a problem.
Yes.
You can stay as long as you want.
I just want to make a question to you. What is something you really like to do with people?
Get to know them.
Get to know them. There's a big retreat, young people, outreach. How do you feel?
I feel
good. Good. That is... social glue. You feel good, and that feeling of happiness with the whole team will make you do anything for them.
Yeah, I know.
So that's social glue.
I finished.
So she manages the temple, she understands that. Thank you so much. So anybody else, tell me something you really like to do with people. One activity. You chant Hare Krishna. Okay, Adikarta said chant Hare Krishna. What if you're chanting Hare Krishna with your god brother, Radhanath Swami, and all your god, Niranjana Swami? How do you feel? Very good. Hopefully good, right? Now, if Radhanath Swami calls you and says, Adikarta Prabhu, I need you here in Mumbai, what do you do? You're on your way. You buy the ticket. Because that relationship has social glue. We all have. Whatever we do. And there's a bank account of social glue. Every time there's a conflict, you withdraw from that bank account until you're zeroed. When you're zeroed, it's like if you remove your skin and your fat and your muscle, you're in your bone. What happens if I hit you in the bone? It hurts. You never want to come back. So people who leave our communities because they don't have any social glue to make it up. So how do you build that? Intention, same intent. There's so many technologies. He and many others helping us to develop that so we can get along well. And finally, the last one is system of abundance. You don't need to go, you don't need to just go out. Okay, that's good. System of abundance, there are a number of permaculture teachers, agroforestry teachers, that I'm connecting. We hope to launch that course very soon. So these are three courses the ministry will be launching. And on that note, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention and open for a little interaction if there's any questions. I just wanted to make a connection between how Krishna really works with nature, because it's his nature. And he really makes a point in protecting nature. And he's so many examples, swallowing the forest fire, saving Mother Earth with his incarnation as Varaha. Krishna wants that. Okay?
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. This was so enlightening. And there was so much in there that I was thinking, wow, you could unpack so many of the things that you said into, like, just to understand our philosophy, the integration of our philosophy with everything. It was just amazing. I think you could do many more sessions. And I mean, I'm not a, you know where we live, and my husband does all the gardening, I do nothing, but I do the educational aspect of it and understanding it and how we can impact people, including ourselves. That's, to me, that is really, that's amazing how just by understanding we can really change our paradigm and be better devotees and better preachers and set a good example. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your reflections. Thank you so much for your example. Mataji is a very incredible teacher of Bhakti Shastri. All the students who go to her feel that Shakti in Mayapur, and her husband is always, we are neighbors in Mayapur, so we discuss about farming, cows, and how we're going to implement all these things. So that example, the big question is, how can the preachers assimilate this, have this knowledge available, this translation and connections made available so they can use it? So that's the next stage. We want to make all these materials available. And one way you could help us is by just saying, hey, the ministry is flashing out courses and content. Tune in. It's just very simple. It's just imcpa.iscon.org. IMCPA. IMCPA. I am Cow Protection Agriculture. IMCPA.iscon.org. And that's a connectivity point. So much has been put there.
Kalakanta Prabhu, I want to congratulate you and commend you for taking on that mission. It is, you've done an excellent job, and all you've gained, it is obvious, and the connections you've made in and out of ISKCON, you know. Thank you so much. What a contribution you have to offer now.
I'm so indebted to Mataji Ragatmik and her husband. They were the first senior people I met in Sri Mayapur when I came in 2010. My wife wanted to educate her, so I dropped everything, my master, my job, to be in Mayapur. And I was with her and her husband, and I made a question to them. What advice would you give to someone coming to Mayapur? And they were very good. They said, don't sell anything, make a trial. If it works, you stay. And we did exactly what you said. So they're like six gurus at that point. And they introduced us to Mayapur, which for me was a big foreign place at the time. But it became family, and we assisted in a few MCS services. And it led to being, to take the service. And today, I feel so happy to be here, because I'm so reassured how much collective knowledge we, devotees, have gathered. In this room, the amount of collective knowledge is so great, we just need to integrate it. If we integrate this, it's a fabulous knowledge base. From farming, to preaching, to festivals, to temple management, to farm management, to writing books, to art. It's a fabulous resource. And all of you are a unique moment. All of you have come to the good age, people say. I don't know if it's so good, but it's a good age. And you have friendship. You could make a vibrant, third age teaching hub, where you'd benefit, the youth would benefit, they'd come here to learn from you. And I think if you gave that contribution, that would be like an incredible contribution. So I'm very indebted to both of you for guiding me as a young newcomer to my effort. We have affection for both of you in the heart. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Kalakanta Prabhu. It's such a privilege to hear your presentation. Yeah, and just like Mataji said, so much is here. There could be class after class after class. But my comment is, we have Mother Akuti here. And Mother Akuti, I mean, it's like we have a leader already, and we just need to get behind her and or help her, just assist. Stand by her.
Yes, I know so, Mataji, and she's so energetic, so active. I was hoping to meet her. I'm hoping to meet her today. I just peeped in her garden, and I can see she's in tune in. I saw the syntropic gardens and the herb gardens she's making, the flower gardens and the landscaping, the eco buildings. I could have a glimpse and I'm sure I hope to get a chance to connect to her. Thank you for being a gardener for these beautiful deities. I think the perfection is growing flowers, vegetables, doing milk, and offering to the lordships. Vashana Swami told me something just as I spent a week with him in New Vrindavan, amazing personality. And he was telling me that one time, the cow department, or the plow department, as he called, which, you know, have dhoti is very short and usually full of holes, were different from the, he calls the entourage, which are the sannyasis and with Prabhupada. And they were just there, and Prabhupada came to the plow department to investigate, to make an inspection, as he says. And everybody understood that Prabhupada has come. So like he said, like ducklings around the mother, they made a semicircle, and Prabhupada is walking, and they're walking behind him. But their minds is disturbed because New Vrindavan now has a palace of gold and preaching, and their service is kind of not so valued as it used to be. So they come to one point, and Prabhupada notices he's being followed, so he stops, put his cane on the ground strongly, turns around, looks at them, and they're all looking at Prabhupada. Nobody speaks a word, but Prabhupada understands their mindset. And he just says two things. You are so fortunate. You are taking care of the cows and serving the deities. And then he repeated again, turn around and walk. He said immediately in his heart, he understood, Prabhupada understands what we're doing. And now ISKCON is coming to the point of actually reconciling with that moment. ISKCON is starting to understand the power, the potency, financially, presence-wise, of this. You know, just yesterday I heard that the daughter of Biden met his Radhanath Swami in the event of Modi. And she was talking to him and expressing, she's appreciating the daughter of Biden, the UL president. Yes, she got an update, she got his book, he's reading, she's into that. So, and Biden is all is a lot on these topics. There are billions that he's investing in regeneration, he's trying. So, I'm just saying that financially there's such a big possibility. Modi is putting billions into this area. So many into the regenerative Ganga, Ma Ganga, and so many organic farming. So if we get into that, there's not only outreach, but there is funds, there are grants. It's really a huge world for us to tap into. We have a last comment and a question, and my computer just turned off, okay?
Souls that are taking birth. It's the, they come down through the rains and they go in the grains. And then the living entities, they eat the food grains. And the soul enters into this. The man carries the soul and the woman carries the body. So it's like part of the cycle of life to preserve and protect the land and the cows. It's the peace formula. Everything about Prissy Goracha is really important.
Thank you so much for your reflection and comment, Mataji. Yes, I fully subscribe with what you said. Whoever does cows and agriculture knows how they feel after it. You didn't want to go anywhere else, just want to be there with your crops. I'm here, but my crops are in Brazil, so I know I'm on a mission. I'm like a turtle. I am hatching. I'm working with my crops. On a sweet note, His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami, he was really instrumental in helping everything we did. And we're preparing to celebrate his departure, which still is a pain for us. For me, at least, he was like a real father in so many ways. But the biggest gain I got from him was that after doing almost everything a leader does in ISKCON, saving temples like New Mayapur and New York recently, the big battle, Shesha Prabhu is here with him. That was a gigantic war, and they won it. And Prabhupada, as a founder, Charya, the GBC College, there's so many things Bhakti Charaswami was there. And I think the biggest contribution really was, he was into the family, Prabhupada's family. Anywhere a family mood is necessary, we call Bhakti Charaswami. So in 2016, I asked for help, and he said he would give, but he couldn't give because we needed some funds. So 17, he was elected as the GBC chairman, and he phoned me from America and said, for half an hour, he told me how important it was, because Prabhupada didn't have the time, but now it was the time. So inside of him, he was with a conviction that I have done so many things, but I have not done this, and I need to do it. So his heart went 100% into that direction. So he flew me in. We are going everywhere in North America. We did a conference in Deland. Krishna Kishore Prabhu, his traveling secretary in Vaikuntha Prabhu. We're doing things because I understood that he was telling me it's the time. We should do this. That was the message. And that's why he came to Deland. Even though so many people say, don't go, it's COVID, it's pandemic, you should not go. But he did come.
They told him, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can say how. There will be a festival in Deland where this will be spoken, right? It will be the first, the second, and the third. The third is the most important day. His Holy Lord Nath Swami is coming, Jadwaita Swami is coming, Chandramali Swami is coming, Adhikartha Prabhu probably will be coming. Brahmatirtha Prabhu said he would come, and so many other devotees and disciples are coming to remember his contribution. So on this sweet note of His Holiness, I'd like to thank all of you for your incredible services for Srila Prabhupada. I was a little nervous at the beginning in front of so many seniors. I hope you get your blessings that I can do this service, and I hope we can move forward for Prabhupada's pleasure. Srila Prabhupada ki! Gaura Premanandi!